1 Corinthians 13. And we look tonight at verse 4. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have been looking at the priority of love. The first three verses, as we have already seen, lay out for us that love is above all else. Let's just read them through again. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Exclamation point. I think really that's the point of it, that love does take priority over all of these other things. And if love is so important for you and for me, how is it that we really begin to know and understand that God's love is indeed at work in our hearts and in our midst? How do we know it? Well, the only way we can know is through the Word of God giving us some direction, some guidance, some information about the character of this love, which is so important. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul does for us. He begins now in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13 to talk to us about the character of love. You see, our understanding of love does not depend upon a confession of faith that we make, an experience we might have, or something else. Our understanding of God's love and its character comes from the Word of God and how that is worked out in our lives. God is laying before us something in which we can gain discernment and begin to understand what this love is really all about, what its character is. And so Paul gives it to us. Love is, Paul says, patient, first of all. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's kind of interesting that in those three verses, Paul lays before us seven positive qualities or characteristics of love and seven negative characteristics of love. You suppose that's purposeful? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that numbers game. But it's interesting. And he lays before us in a very purposeful manner the positive, then the negative, and then the positive characteristics of love. And it's interesting, too, that this is not a clinical examination or review of love. We're not putting love under a microscope and dissecting it in a clinical fashion in this way. These are not calculated definitions by which we may stand or fall. I think that's important for us to see. We have here the active ingredients of love. How love manifests itself. And Paul starts with two positive manifestations. Love is patient. Now, you've heard people pray this way, haven't you? Lord, give me patience right now. Well, that's not exactly what Paul's talking about, is it? But he is talking about here a characteristic of love. And he's very emphatic, lays it before us. This is a fruit, this is an evidence of the kind of love he's been talking about in the earlier verses. Love is patient. And what does this patience involve? Well, we're going to look at some other scripture here. We do this quite a lot, don't we? To define the word. That's what we're about. We need to understand what these scriptures really say and what they mean. Love is patient. What does that mean? Let's look. First, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13, 14, and 15. Here the word is used, patience. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no other, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Patience means waiting. How long did Abraham wait? 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. Patience means waiting. And it's not, Lord, give me patience right now. God doesn't work that way. I think we can say without reserve that the millstones of God's providence grind in a very slow fashion, but they grind exceedingly fine. And we need to be patient. Love is patient. And I don't think it's a mistake at all, or something that we should take lightly, that Paul defines love in terms of patience as the very first characteristic. Love is patient. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Patience means waiting. God waits. God is patient. God always leaves time for us to repent. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that our repentance, our changing, our moving in this life from one stage of faith to another is something which takes place in time. And God is patient, allowing us time to change. Now, I don't know how some of you fellas are, but I know how it's been in our household, that if my wife hadn't been patient with me to allow time for me to change as I needed to change over the years, the home would have been a disaster. Time is needed, right? And patience allows time for change, for repentance. What else do we have? James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Just back a few pages in your Bible to James chapter 5. Verse 7 and following. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance or patience of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Patience involves waiting without complaint. It's interesting that James uses here the picture of the farmer. Is he picking on you fellas who wait patiently for those first green sprouts of wheat to come up out of the ground? You do that, don't you? Wait patiently? Well, that's the analogy, and that's how we ought to be, without complaint. Remember the patience of Job. Wow. He suffered a little, didn't he? Remember the patience of Job. Matthew 18. Here's another aspect of patience. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 26. Here's a parable. We jump into the middle of the parable. We won't take time to read the whole parable, but I think you'll recall it. Matthew 18, 26. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Have patience. What is involved here? Real patience shows mercy and compassion. It involves forgiveness. Verse 27. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Have patience. What was the result of that? Compassion. Forgiveness. Real mercy. The opposite is given also in verses 28 and 29. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. Verse 30. And he was unwilling, however, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Here's the opposite. A lack of patience, which is a lack of love, is a lack of compassion and a lack of forgiveness. This is what love's all about, folks. 1 Corinthians 13 again. Love is patient. And this involves a willingness to wait, a willingness to give others time to change without complaint, with much compassion, and a readiness to forgive. Love is patient. And we have to be patient if we are going to be loving with our employees, with our children, with other family members, with wife, with husband, with whoever. Love is patient. patient. Paul goes on. Love is kind. Love exemplifies kindness. Love exercises kindness. We've already seen this in conjunction with the parable that we just looked at with patience. There is a kindness, there is a mercy that should pervade our lives. As the slave begged the landowner for mercy and for kindness, if we have genuine love within our hearts, we're going to exercise that kindness towards others. This kind of generosity, this kind of kindness, is in actuality a fruit of the Spirit. You can look at them in Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit. An evidence of the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God. And of course this includes kind words, kind actions, and is completely the opposite of the sharp tongue, which Jesus says involves murder. Love is kind. Now Paul goes to a negative characteristic. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. This jealousy is a kind of envy that involves an unhealthy striving with others. I really think it's best exemplified in puppy love. You know what that is, don't you? That kind of superficial love that kids get involved in. Puppy love. And oh boy, the jealousy rages in the midst of that. So common. Adults can fall into that pitfall too. Love is not jealous, you see. And the reason love is not jealous is that love is built upon trust and faithfulness. Faithfulness on one hand and trust on the other hand. That's what love is really built upon. Let's go back now to that passage in Galatians, Galatians 5, because this kind of jealousy, I want you to see this specifically, is a deed of the flesh. This jealousy that we're talking about here is a deed of the flesh. That's why love cannot be jealous. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are coming apart here. I faded away. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. See, very specifically, a deed of the flesh. And again, we'll see that in a moment. But it's important for us to understand that it is impossible for love to be jealous, because love is a deed of the flesh. It is something that comes out of the desire of the flesh. It is fleshly. And it's fleshly because it involves an envious attitude with regards to people who get their own way. It involves envy as a desire to get attention. Very much a deed of the flesh. To emphasize that, we look at James chapter 5. We read that moments ago. James chapter 5. And I think this is real interesting. James chapter 5. Wait a minute. Three, I'm sorry. James chapter 3. Verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness, in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. I challenge you to look at situations in which there is conflict and disorder, whether it be in the family, in the church, or in the business in which you find yourself. I challenge you to look at that disorder critically, because invariably behind that disorder there will be jealousy of some sort. What does James say? Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. It happens in the church so often that where there is disorder, the problem is people who are jealous over their particular ideas and emphases within a congregation. It happens easy. And it's the root of many problems. What happens then is that that jealousy tends to divide individuals. That's not love, is it? Love is not jealous. Love binds individuals together. And so, we need to watch it. We really do. Love is not jealous. But now we may have a problem. In fact, we might have a serious problem here. I'd like you to turn back in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 20. We might use God as an excuse to exercise some jealousy in our own lives. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God is a jealous God. How are we to handle that? Well, the answer ought to be right at our fingertips. We've already given the answer. The kind of jealousy we have been talking about in conjunction with love is a deed of the flesh. It is earthly. It is unnatural. It is demonic. Isn't this what James tells us? And what is God? God is pure spirit, isn't it? Pure spirit. And we ought never to conceive of the living God as being jealous in terms of the deeds of the flesh. It is impossible. And so that jealousy which is spoken of in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, cannot possibly be the jealousy that Paul speaks of in Galatians as being the deed of the flesh, and to which love is contrasted. What then is this jealousy? This jealousy is a zeal that God has for His own worship. And folks, we ought to have a zeal for the worship of God like God has a zeal for His worship. We really should. It's interesting that this is how the Westminster Catechism defines that jealousy: a zeal for the worship of the living God. And so let's not confuse this with the jealousy we have been talking about as a deed of the flesh. They're not the same. They're not even similar. They couldn't be the same. Why? Because love is not jealous. And God is love. Right? This is what the Scriptures tell us. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 then. What do we have? What do we have before us? Love is patient. Is patience growing in your life? Is it? Love is patient. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of the living God is resident within you, God has placed an imperishable seed within you, and that seed will grow. And so, is patience growing in you? Is it? Love is patient. Is kindness growing in you? Is it? I trust that it is. Love is kind. At the same time, is jealousy on the decline in you? Love is not jealous, the apostle tells us. You see, again, these are rich characteristics of love. They are evidences of the presence of love within you. And I think one of the things that we can learn as we continue to go through this study in 1 Corinthians, as we study these characteristics further, we can come to grips with the love of God, because without this love, we are without God. And as we see the positive characteristics on the increase within us and the negative characteristics on the decrease within us, the evidence begins to heap up in our own lives that the love of God is present. And when that takes place, assurance is built. Praise God that that's the case. Let's pray that it will take place in your life and in my life, and that you will be more patient, more kind, less jealous, and that love will abound. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, bless your word to our hearts, that as individuals we may be patient, kind, not jealous. And I pray, God, that that will be the case in my life, so that I'll be the kind of person you want me to be, Lord. And when that's the case in each one of our lives, Father, we know who gets the glory. You do. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
145b.